This would completely drain them mentally, everything of like, we're just going too much. We've got to slow this thing down. And I've got to understand that side of it. And it's hard for me because my brain is wired of like, go, 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 go. And I'm like, why don't they want to just like keep going to like this next thing or, whatever's going on? Like, I don't just want to sit at home. And so finding that balance of staying home, getting that rest, getting that recovery, getting that time at home versus just always on the go is kind of where we've got to find that. And it's more of me finding it and knowing that I'm probably pushing too hard when there's multiple things going on at once.
When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. Welcome to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about introversion and extroversion. And what does that mean in parenting? And what does that mean if we have kids that some are introverts, some are extroverts? And what if your wife is an introvert and you're an extrovert? How does that come out in the wash? Today, we're going to be talking to Tom Rowan. And Tom has been somebody I've known for many years and has done some pretty incredible things, including putting on 247 t-shirts, and winning a Guinness Book World Record, or hitting a Guinness Book World Record. And so anyway, Tom is someone who thinks outside the box and does some pretty darn amazing things. And I was so excited to bring him on today and just talk about his journey in parenting. And I loved what he had to say about introversion and extroversion and parenting. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Today, I have with me Tom Rowan. He has been a friend of mine for many a year. And man, he is just someone who I have seen do more out of the box things than almost anybody else. Like the crazy things Tom has done is really off the chain. And I wanted to invite him on because he is a parent of two boys. And I'm just like so curious, like Tom, what is going on in his parenting journey? So Tom, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you taking the time and being here.
Yes, thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, so first off, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about what you do for a second, and then I'm going to segue to a story that I want everybody to know about.
Okay, so own multiple businesses, main one being 1-800-T-Shirts.com, also a co-owner of Dimensional Brewing Company, and also own Round Capital, which invests in commercial real estate, primarily triple net lease, which is like we own the real estate of McDonald's, Arby's, Starbucks, Staples, a lot of big national tenants and prime locations. And I'm also a ultra marathon runner. So I compete in 50 and 100 mile races all across the world.
Wow. It's so crazy. Okay. So Tom, please tell us about the time that you put on, how many shirts was it? Like a Guinness Book of World Records set or something like.
Yes. The Guinness World Record for wearing 247 t-shirts at once.
Oh my gosh. And you guys, I just have to tell you that you think, oh my gosh, he put on 247 t-shirts. That's a lot. But let me just tell you, his life was at risk. Right, Tom? Like there was like a whole situation because it compresses your body. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I lost a complete feeling in my fingers, hands, then arms, and had a little out of body experience. And so the amount of weight, pressure, just a lot of things happened. You're not meant to put on that many t-shirts at once. And there's a reason why it was a record, apparently. So I beat the previous record by two and almost died in the process.
Gosh, it was the most astounding story. And you have always done things out of the box and found unique ways to connect with potential customers, but also to show up for your community. And so I just always loved that about who you are. And so having this conversation with you, you know, around kind of what have you been doing with parenting? Like what's going on in your life with that? I felt like was super appropriate because I mean, dude, Tom, you're a rock star. So crazy. And so Tom, you've got two boys right now and they're what ages again?
5 and 7.
5 and 7. And you and your wife are definitely in that zone, right? So what's life like right now with two young boys?
It is wild. And like my wife is the primary parent here. You know, she's a stay-at-home mom and she's managing all the real estate. And so she's taking care of that. Plus, you know, doing a lot of the stuff with kids. I would say like when it comes to discipline, that's like in her wheelhouse. Just a lot of like keeping track of all the things that they're doing. And then also I'm doing, so she's definitely managing the show. I'm trying to fill in the gaps and do the best job that I can with, you know, the time that we have as entrepreneurs. And it's hard and it's ever evolving. And I feel like each season's a little different from birth until, you know, now. And I understand like each season, no matter what we're going through, whether it's difficult or really good or wherever it's at, it's a really short season. And it's like, whatever we're doing whether it's a challenge or it's good, you know, all the things, it's like, okay, the next season is coming. Enjoy the one you're in as much as you can. And also know that, you know, another one's coming down the road.
Yeah, that is so true because it's ever evolving, the parenting journey. And a lot of people, I feel like, look at the parenting journey like it ends at 18. And as one who has two kids who are over 18, it just doesn't stop. And awesome motherhood mentor that I had, Sally Clarkson, she used to say that exact thing. It's like, you think parenting stops at 18? Like, it just changes. It just changes and more. So we're always ready for that next season, right? And okay, so one of the things you mentioned before we got on and we started is that you and your wife are very different in that she's an introvert and you're an extrovert. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and you've actually found that it seems like one of your boys is an introvert and one of them is an extrovert.
Correct. Yeah. There's definitely a pretty solid line there of one is like me and one is like her.
Okay. What does that look like for you guys? Like what kind of challenges does that bring about in your marriage and then in your parenting?
It's finding that balance, right? So I get that energy of go, 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 go to the next event, you know, schedule multiple events a week, all this other stuff. And, you know, she would rather just, you know, have that nice night at home and, you know, everyone together on the couch watching a movie. And our boys are kind of the same way where one of them wants to just be out, like whether it's running around the yard or the neighborhood or going to things. And the other's like, well, no, Dad, I'd rather just stay home tonight. I don't want to go to that. So we'll ask them, hey, do you guys want to go to, you know, the circus tonight? Or you want to go do this event? Like, no, we'll just stay at home. And so it's finding that balance of where the energy is at between, you know, both me and my wife, but then also for the kids of like, and then me having the understanding of like, okay, this would completely drain them mentally, everything of like, we're just going too much. We've got to slow this thing down. And I've got to understand that side of it. And it's hard for me because my brain is wired of like, go, 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 go. And I'm like, why don't they want to just like keep going to like this next thing or, you know, whatever's going on? Like, I don't just want to sit at home. And so finding that balance of staying at home, getting that rest, getting that recovery, getting that time at home versus just always on the go is kind of where we've got to find that. And it's more of me finding it and knowing that I'm probably pushing too hard when there's multiple things going on at once.
Yeah. And then also too, imagining, so being married to someone who is an introvert and then she's the primary caregiver. And then, so she's being pulled on, her energy is being pulled on all the time. And I hope one day to create some sort of resource based off of parenting and personality. And I think I'm most fascinated with introvert and extrovert right now because I find that I'm more of an extroverted introvert now. But I have a dear friend who is a serious introvert, such a serious introvert. And I realize that she experiences parenting in a different way than I do because to her kids, while she has such a hard time saying this out of her mouth, but her kids are a complete drain to her energy. And so she has to get super, super creative so she can show up how she wants to her kids. And so she's constantly looking for opportunities to steal away, and she has to ask for support, you know, in order to get those opportunities. Otherwise, she feels terrible because she shows up as the mom she doesn't want to be, you know, more irritated and frustrated and not as joyful and annoyed. And she's like, man, that is not who I want to be. But in the throes of littles, when you have littles, like, there's not always a lot of options. And so how is it that you and your wife navigate kind of supporting? I don't know if she's in that same boat or not, because I have different levels of introversion and extroversion, but how do you guys navigate that together for her?
This took me a while to figure out, and I'm still figuring stuff out, like, all the time, and being able to empathize and understand, you know, her point of view and everything else that's going on. I know, like, when I get home from work, especially during the summer when she's home all day with them, it's like she is just drained from constant attention and constant, you know, answering questions, you know, the little questions and stuff all day long. And I'm coming home and there's cases where I'm drained of dealing with questions and emails and you name it, like, all day long. But I know, like, I've got to, like, bring my A game. I've got to do whatever. So what I've been working on and, you know, doing is come home and it's almost like a handoff. Like, here you go. Like, I need some time. During the summer, it's definitely easier where it's like, all right, I'm taking them outside. We're going to run around in the yard and do whatever and let her have that space and that alone time in the house. In the wintertime, it's really difficult because we're just cooped up inside and it's like, well, where can we go? We got to, like, go to the basement or something. And then on weekends, typically I will take the boys on a Sunday morning and we'll go for, like, a little drive. We'll go to a local park. We'll go down by where the train depot is and watch the trains or the river and things like that. So we go on this, like, this little, you know, 2 or 3 hour journey on Sunday mornings to get them out of the house and just give that space to Amanda to, like, do her thing, to have, like, that time to unwind and, like, not worry about being a parent. And so that's where I try to, like, jump in and be like, all right, I've got this. You take some time right now.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that so much. And so whenever you are, you know, stealing away with the kids and doing things, what kind of things are you doing together to connect with the kids?
I'm still exploring and, like, trying to figure out, like, what are they passionate about? And, you know, so they're in Cub Scouts and they've tried different sports and things like that. We've gone camping and, you know, sometimes it's just like what I call exploring, where we're just driving around the city and, like, we'll stop at different parks. Obviously at that age, they love going to different parks and seeing, you know, whatever the playground is. And so just kind of getting out and seeing stuff and then seeing through their eyes, like, what lights them up and what wows them, and following their lead and going along with it instead of trying to force it and be like, hey, I think we should go do this because this is what I love. But it's just keeping their mind open and showing them different stuff. So kind of leading in a way, but then immediately recognizing, like, if it's not for them, like, boom, we're packing up the car and we're going to the next place, or we're going to do something else. So try not to force it, but just kind of keep the ideas open for them.
You know, Tom, there's something that you do that I always have looked up to ever since I heard your t-shirt story, but just how involved you are with the community. And I would imagine, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you take your kids to a lot of these things that you do. Can you talk about some of the things that you do in the community and what that looks like bringing the kids?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a value, you know, or a trait that I got from my parents. You know, growing up, we were always very active in the community. And that was, whether it was, like, just a community event that was going on, a festival, or maybe it was a charity event, fireman's breakfast or something for the church, just to always be active and participating, giving back, donating time, or just being there and being present and supporting what's going on. And so we try to do that with the kids. They look forward to, you know, going to the different breakfasts or dinners or whatever, you know, festivals of that as well, just, like, being in the community, seeing what's going on, and being around other people, you know, for those two. And that's a challenging thing because their attention span is, you know, very short. And so we're playing this balancing act of, you know, where's their attention span at? What's the game plan here? What's plan B if this isn't working out? And so it's a constant thing, but I think they like it, you know, farmers market on Saturday mornings. They like, you know, getting up and walking around that. And some of that's just like seeing stuff and being out there and seeing other people or, you know, the dog or whatever they're seeing. It's like, just getting out and being part of what's going on.
Hey, powerful parents, Stephanie here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Did you know that statistics show that 88% of Americans say they eat dinner with their family every night or a few times a week? I think that's a pretty awesome stat. But if you're anything like me and you're an entrepreneur, then after a day filled of putting out fires and maybe various events testing your patience, sometimes it's hard to think of questions that can help you really connect with your kids beyond the standard, "How was your day?" When my kids were just littles, I put together a list of questions to solve this problem and to help us have something to connect with over dinner time. And now I would love to share my curated dinner questions with you. This is good for littles and for bigs. There's lots of different varying questions in there. And these questions are going to help to ensure that the conversation is not just lively, but will bring you closer to your children while you enjoy a delicious meal together. As a listener of this podcast, you can get access to these questions at www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Once you're there, make sure to type in your best email, and I'll have my team shoot over the questions for you. Once you get the questions, I encourage you to make this a family affair. Print them out. Have your kids help you cut them out. We even grabbed a mason jar and my kids decorated it. And that's where we put all of our questions. And that same mason jar still sits on or near our dinner table to this day. We've been using these questions for close to 8 years now, and I've really enjoyed the fun conversation and connection that's come from them. I hope your family enjoys them as much as mine have. Again, that's www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Now back to the show.
That's so great. I know you mentioned like a fireman's breakfast and things like that. And I've always desired to get more involved in the community, but I, you know, really don't know how at all. And I think what a cool way to share that with your kids, because you learned that growing up. And I believe you said you grew up on a farm. Is that right?
Yeah, my grandparents did, which was right just down the road from my parents. So, you know, we grew up going down there and helping out on the farm and kind of learning some work ethic and stuff growing up. And that was kind of our little playground away from home.
That's awesome. That's so great. And so whenever you have dove in and you feel like maybe it's been really tough in parenting, can you think of a time where, you know, it was just really hard in parenting your boys and you had to kind of overcome or learn a new tool or skill set?
I mean, there's so many, and I think it's definitely on the discipline side and getting on the same page. Which parent is disciplining? How are we disciplining? Not over, like, it's hard to describe. Like, what is it? I forget what it's called, but it's like the overpromise where you're like, hey, if you do this again, like, we're not going to do this thing, or I'm taking away this toy or whatever. It was like, oh, we're not going to go to the zoo this weekend if you don't stop doing this. And all of a sudden they don't stop and it's like, oh, well, there goes this weekend's plans. It's like, you can't, like, you've got to follow through on that when you say something. Like, you absolutely have to make sure, like,
overpromising and under delivering.
Yeah. Cause if you don't follow through, then like it's completely out the window. And I definitely learned that the hard way a couple of times, to the point where, like, you know, me and my wife will look at you. I'm like, all right, what's the thing here that we're not going to overdo and it be a deal breaker on something?
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. My husband and I are more so, I mean, I say I'm an introvert, extrovert, but we definitely are on, like, he's an Enneagram 7 and I'm an Enneagram 3. And we both consider ourselves just kind of like ADHD entrepreneurs. And so a lot of times we'll forget, you know what I mean? Like, we'd rather just move on in the moment. And whenever I was at home, like, actively homeschooling, like right now we have a homeschool model because of we have a private school where they're at school Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then they're at home Tuesday, Thursday. But back in the day, whenever it was, you know, I was in the grind, man, I was building a business and homeschooling and doing all the things and making all the meals and the laundry and just going crazy. In the middle of all of that, oftentimes it was just so much easier just to just move things forward without, you know, those consequences. But like you said, you see what fruit does that bring, right? What fruit does it bring? It brings a heart that like doesn't trust you and what you say, and then also has no motivation to listen at all. So in those days, it was easier to do those things, but like it was crucial. So crucial. Like if I messed up on that, it could ruin like a month because it would be so hard. But as they've gotten older now, man, me and my husband are just like, can't it just all be fun? You know, because we enjoy our kids so much. Why can't it all just be fun? But there's still parenting and there's still lessons to be learned and there still has to be consequences. And it can be exhausting. But I think that's where what you were talking about earlier about, you know, your wife refueling. And then you said, tell me again, you have some parents that live nearby. So you said you guys get away some too?
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing we found really well, not only from a parenting aspect, but just from a marriage aspect, is being able to get away on a date night or even a 3-day weekend where it's just us. And so the grandparents are close by. That's helped out a ton of just, and even sometimes like just during summer, because it's all day, all the time, especially for my wife all summer long. It's like, all right, we just need like some adult time, right? Without distractions. We just want to eat a meal out having to like
cut the chicken nuggets up.
Yeah, like all the things, right? And so it's nice to have that balance and have the grandparents close by where, you know, we can get those times together as husband and wife and be able to do that. And I feel like for the kids, it's also nice too, because that gives them some time away as well to kind of do some things. And, you know, we don't always we kind of have to like reel them back in after sometimes, because
yeah, weekend at the grandparents, you got a different kid.
Yeah, the grandparents, no rules apply type of thing. But we understand that it goes with the territory.
Yeah, totally. So what are you guys doing right now? Like, what are your philosophies and thoughts on screens in the home? Like iPads, TVs, like how are you guys handling that?
It's very limited. I think the boys, they're limited to like under an hour. And most nights they're not even asking. So our oldest, he plays Farm Simulator, and you know, we limit that to typically like 30 minutes, sometimes an hour. And but then as far as like, we don't do any YouTube. We not really a whole lot of other games unless we're traveling. It's like a long car ride or something. Most nights during the week, they're not like they're playing outside. They're playing with their toys. I love playing Legos with them.
Yeah, I see Legos in the background there.
Yeah, so we're doing Legos and stuff. And so yeah, the screen time is very limited. The worst offender of screen time in our house is probably myself, and that's the hardest thing. And that's one thing I've been working on, and it is so hard. And you know, so I've tried different methods of leaving my phone in the bedroom or somewhere else, and you know, being present without that distraction or without the temptation of that distraction. And it's kind of a roller coaster where I'll get on a really good streak and it'd be nothing, and then all of a sudden there's, you know, something happening where I'm constantly, you know, in this communication mode. And then it creeps its way back in. And so that's a constant battle for me, probably more than the kids, actually. So that's what I'm working on.
Well, yeah, whenever they're at that young age and there hasn't been a lot of exposure, and you're not quite to the age yet where they start getting all the peer pressure of like, my friends are all on Snapchat or my friend has a phone, and da, 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 and that starts to come in and play, and it becomes a whole different conversation. So yeah, whenever you're leaning into yourself. So I want to share with you and everybody listening some things that I've done, because it's been awesome. And there's one particularly recently that I've been really enjoying. And so for one, it's the RO box. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but RO box is a literal box that you keep plugged in your house, and it looks very, it's very aesthetically pleasing. And it has four slots for phones. And so whether you have an Android or an Apple phone, you can plug it into the device, and it actually has an app that goes with it. So it'll remind you and encourage you. It's super encouraging. The app is like, it doesn't make you feel bad. It's phenomenal. And then whenever you pick up your phone out of the device, it's like you just reclaimed 2 hours of your day or whatever. So it's a really neat accountability system. And as your kids are older, especially tween and teen years, if you choose to give your kids phones at those ages, then you're able to have a source of like, okay, it's dinner time. Everybody's phones goes in the box. And it's just an encouraging thing where you can actually compete to see who has reclaimed the most time and all that kind of stuff. So the RO box is amazing. I actually have a coupon on the podcast show notes where you can actually click and get some off for that. But, it's amazing. And then secondarily for myself, what I've been using, it's an app called Opal. And they were targeting me on Instagram so much. And so I finally gave in and tried their 14-day free trial. And guys, if you're listening to this, and if this is a struggle, if you're here with me and Tom, like, let me just tell you, this app is legit. You know, there was a lot of other, you know, little things here and there that I'd try because I just wanted to have some accountability for myself. Like, how much time am I spending? Because sometimes whenever you're going and you're doing, you don't actually realize the lines between like, oh, I was scrolling Facebook versus like working on this or working on that gets kind of blurred. And with Opal, it literally locks down apps on your phone. And then you have to make a conscientious decision to snooze, like so you can access something really quick for X amount of time. Or you can leave early, like you're leaving work essentially. And I have to tell you, it has been, for one of the most insightful ones, because it really breaks down how much time you're spending on each app very, very well. But then secondarily, it's actually been the most helpful because I was shocked when I first downloaded it, how much I actually picked up my phone to open up a certain app and it was blacked out. I couldn't get to it. And I was like, oh, and it's funny because it has these little funny messages that come up whenever you click on the app. It's like, hey, why don't you go do whatever? And it's quite comical. But yeah, it's phenomenal app. And I would highly recommend it because the reality is our kids are sponges, right? And they are going to do as they see, not as we say. And so, anything you want to see in your kids, and especially because I just believe that every parent, I think maybe I've talked to like one or two parents where screen time has just not been a thing. And it's mostly because their kids were so much into sports, like phones and social media and video games just weren't even really a thought because they kind of missed the boat because they were so into sports. They just didn't even have devices to learn how to really get into it on. But for the most part, almost every single person, every parent I know is like, what do we do with this? What do we do with this onslaught of the entire world having access to our children, right? Because I just watched this TikTok my husband showed me, and the guy was doing a quote and he was like, it's not that you're giving your child access to the world, but you're giving the world access to your child when you hand them a phone. I was like, dang, that's powerful. That is so powerful. And it's true. And I think it's going to be a lot like, what was it? Cigarettes, you know, back in the day, whenever, you know, doctors would recommend smoking to relieve stress. It causes cancer, right? And it's not going to be that drastic, but as far as like a physical malady, but a mental and emotional toll is being taken by children who literally call themselves that they've been raised by the internet, right? Like a whole generation are self-identifying as having been raised by the internet. So like, I don't know. It's one of those things that we really have to sit up and pay attention to as parents, and we have to be able to model what we want and not succumb to something that ultimately our kids could be susceptible to later on, you know, and like really draw the line and say, what is it going to look like now? Okay. Reevaluate. What is it going to look like now? What is it going to look like now? Cause every age is different. Right. But yeah. Any thoughts on that? Like for the future, you said, no, they're not really on YouTube. Was that a conscious decision or?
Yeah, just because like we would see other people watching videos of kids playing with toys. And I was like, this is real. People are watching other kids like playing with toys or playing video games. Like, why not just experience that themselves? So then it was like, we just kind of drew a pretty firm line of like, you know, we couldn't really monitor what they were clicking on and what the algorithm was putting in front of them. Versus, you know, if they're turning on the TV and it's Netflix and they're watching Bluey, it was like, okay, well, we love Bluey. And like, we understand like the messaging is going to be fine. And most children's shows on TV is curated and some of them are, you know, on an educational level versus someone just recording in their basement, like, you don't know what kind of subliminal messaging is under what they're saying or doing. And it's like, it's not curated specifically by professionals for children. And so we just like didn't want to go down that path.
Yeah, that's so smart. That's so smart. So we're coming up on time here in just a bit, Tom. And I always like to end the podcast with a question. It's just a question in kind of getting down to the bare bones of who we are as a parent. And so the question I want to ask you, what does it mean for Tom to be a good father?
Oh, man, it's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I think of everything I do in my life, business, everything else. And this is one side that, you know, since day one, I've felt a lot of pressure of not screwing it up, but also like not 100% knowing what we're doing, right? Like it's so different and so new, and you can take some things that you learned from your parents, you know, good or bad, and adjust from there and things like that. So I'm constantly kind of looking for other resources to feel that out. And there's not like a manual on it or a handbook, like it, and there's no like one perfect way. You got to figure out that right way or what works for your family. Yeah, it's just, you know, trying to do our best. And that's, you know, that's what I put on is trying to do our best and be there for them and, you know, showing that love and, you know, whatever else I can do.
Oh, so good. I love that. And you're right. There's no instruction manual that's got it all laid out for us. But I think that's also too the beauty of it, because each one of our children are so unique. You know, like what my kid needs is not necessarily what Tom's kids need. And then we're so different. So how I come across with something is not how you or your wife might come across from something. And so I think it's kind of a beautiful thing, because we have to, if there's something in life that we have to really intentionally lean in and give attention to, it's parenting and marriage, right? Like you have to, because it's going to go the way of really bad things happening if you don't pay attention and give it your all. So I think that's beautiful. Tom, so for everybody who's listening and how can they connect with you and how can they get shirts from you? Like how do they find you on the internet?
Yes. You can follow me on any of the social medias at Tom Rowan 24/7 or 1-800 t-shirts.
Awesome. 1-800 t-shirts.
Yeah. Very, very easy to remember. So just look us up, 1-800t-shirts.com. Call the number or search for us on any of the social medias. And, you know, we're happy to help connect, whether it's entrepreneurship, investing in real estate, or printing t-shirts and swag and all the fun stuff with that. Do a variety of things.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Tom, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate you. And guys, if you're listening right now and this has been a blessing for you, please reach out to Tom and let him know, and then leave a review for us here on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them, and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.